chapter today has a very unusual ending. You may have noticed it. There are three words. This is it. Now, when we look into those words, we find many possibilities. Perhaps the master within Joel was telling us that just every word that had come that particular day was the very essence of the Christ message. This is it. If you recall, the act of commitment was a talk given by Joel, and it was the last Sunday talk ever made by Joel. And it was made just before this particular talk, the worship, an act of worship and the fruitage. And we know that on that last Sunday talk, the act of commitment, there was an awareness within Joel of the day of transition that lay ahead, just a few days. And now the man speaking before the world, named Goldsmith, was giving a message with the knowledge that within a very short time he would be on the other side of a veil. He wouldn't even have a form in front of us to talk to us. Actually, it was less than 72 hours later that transition was made. And it would appear that this is it had reference to that transition. Now, knowing this, reading the chapter, and perhaps many of you have heard the tape, I refreshed myself by listening again to it. Found a few things in it, by the way, that aren't in the chapter itself. And you have the impression that Spirit is taking its message and putting a great big package and a ribbon around it and saying to us, if you will concentrate now on what is being given to you, and weigh heavily the things you are doing against what Spirit is telling you to do, you may perceive that the very core of your spiritual life is here described. And if in some way you are digressing from this core, you are creating karmic law this instant. If you are not sitting at the feet of the Master within yourself, you are living as a human being, divorced from the one power, the one life, the one law, the one perfect self. Now, we all know that there are those who go around the world looking for a master, unaware that the kingdom of God is within, and the master is Christ within. And we sit at the feet of Christ. And by that is meant the diminishing of personal sense to allow the sea of consciousness to flow forth as individual consciousness, forming itself as the activity of our human lifespan. The master within is stressed again and again and again, so that finally it is clear that the only way we can honor God supremely is through the silence of our personal life. The only miracle is the miracle of silence. The only way is the way of silence. But now today, I want to share with you a very important way of sitting and listening to the Master within yourself. The essence of the Christ message is never proven to us until we can demonstrate spiritual power. There's no power in the words. There's no healing power in the thoughts. And as long as we continue in the belief that I am accepting spiritual identity, but I cannot demonstrate it, as long as we continue in the belief that I worship God, but I have no fruits to show for it, always it is because the acceptance never goes beyond the mental sphere. And you can even find people who sit for 30 years of acceptance while their bodies decompose, while their faculties diminish, even though the heart is willing, even though they're willing to give the time and the energy and the money, everything they have, still the acceptance never goes beyond the mental stage, and there are no fruits to show for it. Now, fortunately, the message of Jesus Christ is one that proves itself within us, or we are not getting it. It never leaves you guessing unless you're unwilling to face the fact that your intelligence or human goodness is insufficient. The final sacrifice of human intelligence is necessary. The sacrifice of a goal that stops at human goodness is necessary. And now we come to a place that sounds totally absurd to every human mind, but does not sound absurd to those who have come up to the mountaintop where truth alone will do for them. They're not concerned about the face they wear to the world. They're not concerned about personal claims of spiritual power. They're concerned about one thing. Is God expressing as my being, or am I standing in the way? And how will I know? So let us clear away every cobweb and see that the act of commitment asked of us has been the recognition of Christ as the only inhabitant of this earth. We have seen that. We have heard that. We have read that. We may even have accepted it as a truth, without making the commitment to that acceptance. And even though we have made an act of commitment, now we are called upon for acts, A-C-T-S of commitment. We are called upon for a continuity of acts of commitment without ceasing. And so we live in the consciousness of God. Consciously. In Him we live and move and have our being. Now then, if you're in God, can you see evil at the same time? Or, in the perception of evil, are you not confessing to yourself that you are not living in God? Is it possible for evil to occur in God? We dwell on this for a moment. And we discover that we had been accepting But our acceptance had no depth, even though we thought it had depth. There was some commitment still missing. What is it? Now then, we are accepting Christ as the only life. Just what does that mean to us in terms of daily living? We have one divine life, and the consciousness that moves out into form without the awareness of the one divine life is becoming a prodigal at that very instant and is losing the protection of the perfect power and presence of God. Now, when we have one divine life and we're sitting at the feet of the Master within ourselves, the kingdom of God within, what are we saying? The kingdom of God within is God itself. And therefore, within you is God. You're accepting God as the withinness, which means the identity of your being. And so you have the invisible self of you is God. The invisible self of your neighbor is God. The invisible self of all who walk the face of the earth is God. Is that not our first commandment, to acknowledge that this invisible self of all who walk this earth is God? And we have fulfilled the second commandment, but this is only a mental acceptance. This is only where our acceptance begins. It doesn't end with that. Now let's follow it through. Accepting the invisible self, the one invisible self, of all on this earth, of every person, tree, animal, every appearance, every substance, every form, is invisibly God. Then we have one invisible life. Now, right here is that invisible life. And we are interested now in witnessing the expression of it. I would like you to do something that I have done with an individual, and you will see the power that is possible from the experience of God within you. Just cross your arm across your chest for a moment and look at it. And imagine that on your wrist you have a little coin, and that on your elbow you have another coin. And I want to ask you then, where are these coins to you? Would you say these coins are here, or would you say these coins are there? One is on your wrist and one is on your elbow. And I'm quite sure you'd say both coins are here, because your arm to you is here, and therefore the coins on them are here. And so we start with that. Those two coins to you are here. Now change those coins to insects and have a little insect where one coin was on your wrist and another insect where the other coin was on your elbow. And to you, they are still here. They're not there, they're here, right on your arm. But now get inside that little insect on your wrist, and he's here on your wrist, and he looks across to your elbow, and he sees on the elbow, over there is another insect. They're here to you, but to one insect, he is here where he is, and the other insect, a foot away, is there. And if you go to the other insect, he is here to himself, and the one across to your wrist, that's there to him. They're both here to you, but to each other they are here and there. Now that's the relationship that we have with God. To us, there are things outside of ourselves, and the whole world is there. Across the street there, in another city there, in another country there, or up there in the sky, or down there deep in the earth. Everything to us, outside of form, is there. Not here, but there. And yet, everything in this world is within God, and to God it is here. And so we reach this conclusion. There's nothing outside of God, and therefore to God it is here, just as that which is not outside of us is here to us. Everything in this universe, then, is here to God. So that, if I think of Alaska from the standpoint of a me, and if you think of Alaska from the standpoint of a you, Alaska is there. But to God, Alaska would be here, because it would be within God and not external. Now, if we're to live as the Christ, everything that is one way with God must be that way with ourselves, because I and the Father are one. And we must come to the conclusion that everything in the universe that is here to God is here to the God in the kingdom of God within us. So that Alaska, which is there to my form, is here to God where I stand. And because God is my invisible self, Alaska is here to the eye of my being. I'll dwell with that a moment. Everything in the external world, external to you as a person, is there only to your human sense of things, but it is here to the eye of your being. The eye of your being being infinite, it's just like two coins on your arm. The eye of your being says, Alaska is here. The world is here. Everything in the world is here. And the word there ceases to be part of the vocabulary in spirit. There is no there. Here is the only truth. Infinity encompasses all that is, and the infinite being one, everything within the one is here. And in your new consciousness, you're living in the knowledge that everything in this world, with no exception, is here. There's no one you know who is not here this instant, because the reality of that individual is the invisible I, and the invisible I is here. So we have the universe right here, right now. As far as I am concerned, there's no universe outside of this room. The universe is here where I am. And I, being infinite, and that which is the life behind all that appears in what the world calls everywhere, but everywhere is here. Now this is important for you if you're going to sit at the feet of the Master within. You abolish the word everywhere, you abolish the word there, and you build the consciousness that everything that seems to be there is the invisible I, which is here. Now I want to dwell in silence with you on that a moment, until it begins to make an impression upon you, until there's an attempt on your part to accept that here, whenever you say here, you mean everywhere. There is no place in the universe that is not here to the eye of your being. And therefore, whenever we say here, we mean everywhere in the material world, whether it's the moon, planets, stars, the most remote places of the jungles, whether it's hidden inside of a little atom, to I, there is no place that is not here. And I is my name. To the eye of my being, the complete universe is always here, never external to me. Always here. Here I am, says the Father to Moses. The whole universe is in your conscious awareness that the I of you embraces all right here. And I want you to stay in this here, because you will not heal anyone out there until you are in the here. This is where you work from. This is the hub, the core of everything you do. This here. Now watch how it works. There's someone out there who needs help. And if you go out there to help them, you will not help them. It is impossible. The only way you can help that one out there is to help them here where you are. Now, is not the here of you, the I of you, also the I of them? And as you're standing in the here of your own being, are you not in the here of that person who may be 500 miles away? Is not the I of you here, the I of them there? Is it not the same? You find that dwelling in the here of you enables you to dwell in the here of everyone everywhere. We've even seen where, as you dwell in this, you become the living consciousness of anyone who tunes into you. You lift up their eye. And now let's take omnipresence and omniscience and omnipotence and see how you dwell at the feet of the Master in your consciousness. And this means you're dwelling in the realization that here is all intelligence. Here is omniscience. Now that means that here is a divine intelligence, right here. But you see, that divine intelligence is everywhere, because everywhere is here. And as you dwell in the divine intelligence here, the divine intelligence is activated, brought into expression in what the world calls there. And tangibly, it means that if you lost a little dog, but dwelt here in the knowledge that divine intelligence is here and everywhere, always knowing that here to you means everywhere, why, the moment you touch that divine intelligence here within yourself, you're touching it in the dog, and that little lost dog is going to walk home. Divine intelligence will walk home as a dog. Now, this is the miracle of spirit, that when you dwell in the here of divine intelligence, the divine intelligence of this everywhere self is activated in anyone who comes into your experience. When you dwell here in the power of the One, because here is everywhere, that power is activated everywhere. And its intelligence and its power is the healing influence everywhere, because you are standing in it here. So we're told that you will never find a man who can multiply loaves and fishes. You will never find a man who can perform miracles. But here I am. Here in the midst of you is the entire universe of intelligence. And when you touch it where you are, you're touching it throughout the universe. When you touch the power where you are, you're touching it throughout the universe. When you're touching the presence where you are, you're touching it throughout the universe. And so now omnipresence and omnipotence and omniscience for you are here, but here is everywhere. And if you will stand in this here, which is everywhere, you will find you have the answer to every problem in your world. But you must stand there. Never going there, because there is no place like there. You must always be in the here and have the developed consciousness of knowing that here is everywhere in spirit. Everywhere is in Christ, and Christ is here. Everywhere is in God, and God is here. If you stand in your kingdom here, you're in the fourth dimension, everywhere. I can tell you that there are many wonderful things that must happen when you do this. And if you read this chapter with your inner ear, your inner eye, you'll see that Joel is telling us that the great secret of all his work, the great secret of the great masters of all time, is their capacity to dwell in the infinite here of their own being, knowing that there is nothing external to it. They have never gone outside of themselves to help someone somewhere else, because there is nowhere else than where you are. Two thousand years ago is now to God. 2,000 years from now is now to God. The God today, spirit today, is the identical self which the world experienced 2,000 years ago. That 2,000 years occurred only in the human mind. It is now to God. There is no place that is not here to God, and there is no time that is not now to God. And therefore, you can stand in the here and in the now, and you are in touch with all that has appeared in time, in the past, present, and will appear in the future, and all space on land, sea, or air. Right where you stand, you are touching infinity and eternality. Provided you are standing in I. Now, if we're not in the consciousness, then, of I, if we are intruding with personal sense, personal thought, personal fears, hates, dislikes, animosities, even personal love, if we're building a barrier to the continuity of infinite consciousness flowing as individual consciousness, as one I expressing here, why, we're not in touch with that which is there. And now we have a here and a there, and we are separated. Now we have a today and a tomorrow and a yesterday, and we're separated. We're in the flow of passing time, and we're moving through finite space, and we are back to the creature. the worship, in order to attain the fruitage, the worship must be that depth of acceptance to I, which is not an acceptance today for an expedient purpose and a subtle rejection tomorrow. It must be a death of me, a rebirth in I. But you have the tools. You don't have to flounder. You have the tools in omniscience, omnipresence, and omnipotence if you will accept them as the permanent state of being, which is everywhere throughout the universe, functioning today invisibly, present if you will know it in the here of your being and the now of your being, and work consciously, consistently, until you attain that capacity. So the man called Joel, and the spirit functioning the man called Joel, tells us this is it. I am come. I stand at the door. And you may have opened the door a few feet and poked your head out and said, "Who's there?" But now you must find that the human sense of you is but a shadow. And only I am here. There is no second. The only self that is here is this I, in which all is here. The miracles that Joel witnessed on this earth brought him to an extreme degree of humility, because every so-called miracle was nothing more than the experience of I, without a second, without a human opposite, without a Joel. Every miracle that appeared, to which he was witness, appeared because Joel wasn't there. Every miracle that appeared to Jesus Christ appeared because Jesus wasn't there. The fruitage, or what we call the miracles of harmony and beauty and truth and life eternal, all appear because that individual has learned how to sit first at the feet of the Master within, and then through reverence, love, respect, gratitude, understanding, wisdom, to be obedient to the Master within, and finally, to know how to surrender all sense of a personal me who makes any decision whatsoever. Because every human decision is made in the separated state and is without the backing, without the ordination of the Father. And we break one of the cardinal rules of, unless the Father builds the house, we labor in vain. From a daily practical standpoint, then, I'm recommending that you concentrate on understanding the meaning of here is everywhere, and now is all time. Now is 1,000 tomorrows. Every tomorrow that will ever occur is now. That's not fancy talk, that's fact. Every tomorrow and every yesterday that ever was is now. You should be so close to a point where you can say with assurance, is there anyone who has ever walked this earth who isn't now? Is there? Is it possible? If all time is now in God, who has walked this earth who isn't now? No one at all. Who has walked this earth who isn't here? No one at all. Then why can't you talk here and now to those who have made transition into the higher self? Why can't you talk to Paul just as you would talk to your neighbor? And why can't Paul talk to you? Why can't you talk to Joel and Joel talk to you? Why can't you talk to Jesus Christ? What's to stop you? Only one thing. Not having the consciousness that here all is and now all is. The mind has these barriers. But when these barriers are no longer existent, it will be just as normal as talking to a person you can see. You may suddenly feel this and wonder what did hinder thee. Everyone who has ever walked this earth is here and now. And if you will worship at the shrine of here and now, you're worshiping at the feet of the Master within yourself. Because to Christ within you, everyone is here and now. Now, when you're not worshiping here and now, although you think you've accepted divine self, you have not had the faculty of accepting. And therefore, the acceptance was fragmentary, incomplete. The only acceptance of divine self is when you have accepted the livingness, the allness, the oneness, the onlyness of divine self. And that isn't a phrase, that's a continuous practice day in and day out. Until the mist is separated by truth, until the veil is rent, until you can say, Paul, this is what I want to discuss with you right now. Peter, you're not a man 2,000 years ago to me, you're now. You are the self that I am. And I can dwell in this knowledge, I can rest in the Word. And now I'm through with the words and the thoughts. I stand in the Word. The Word, I, Christ, here, now. Meaning all is here, now. There is no thing missing here, now. Every quality of the self is here now. And every quality of the self that is here now is everywhere now. The same intelligence you acknowledge as here now is throughout space here now. And you activate it wherever you realize it to be so. I really have no way of telling you what you should do if somebody swallows glass. What would you do? Humanly, you have no way of doing anything. You don't know how to get the glass out. You don't know how to prevent it from scratching the insides of a child. I know I don't. I don't think the medical profession knows how either. What do you do if a pin lodges in an intestine and it's 4 inches long and it won't make the turn? I don't know how to get it out. And the medical profession doesn't know how to get it out unless they go in and operate. But the eye of us knows all about these things in a very beautiful way. It knows that there is no pin to lodge in an intestine. It knows that there is no glass to be swallowed. And it doesn't try to get it out. And it doesn't try to make the pin turn around the intestine and move. No, it knows the truth. And the truth that it knows will appear to human sense as a pin moving around an intestine and passing out, as glass that suddenly isn't there to cut the interior of the child's stomach. But if we relied on human sense, and if we relied on wanting to help someone there, we'd have a lot of blood on our hands. But the here of you is I. The now of you is I. And the here of that child and the now of that child is I, the same I. And the I of you realized here is the I of you realized there. And Christ has never swallowed glass. Christ has never had a pin in its intestines. And the Christ of you realized here as the Christ there shows forth that harmony as the absence of these discords, which to human sense are critical. The miracle of here and now is it. For this here and now is I in the midst of you, which is greater than he that walks the earth. I go before you. I prepare a way. I make the crooked places straight. But where am I? Right here. When am I? Right now. And when does it stop being now? Never. When do I stop being here? Never. Always I am here now. And always I here now is your name, your identity, yourself, your permanent being. And when you are I here now, you're no longer sitting at the feet of the Master. You have learnt the Master's secret. And he who is sitting at the feet of the Master is no longer there. For I here now am the Master. The Master within is your identity. And an individual consciousness is expressing infinite consciousness, and there is one continuous flow into harmonious form, harmonious mentality, a harmonious body, harmonious activity. All because there is only one. You are worshiping the shrine of truth, of one, as the one. Not one worshiping another one, not, as Job put it, worshiping another man's consciousness. But being the one is the way you worship the one. You cannot accept the one with words and then be a second one. Now, all of these scattered elements of our mentalities and personalities and emotional factors are all pulled back into this here, now, I am. This here is the eye of your being throughout the universe of space. This now is the eye of your being throughout the universe of time. This eye is the infinite eye. This eye is the eternal eye. This eye is the eye that you are, and in it is the omniscience, omnipresence, and omnipotence of that eye throughout this everywhere universe now. If it were necessary for you to heal now, 2,000 years ago, that could be done. Because I now am 2,000 years ago. If such a thing were necessary. Now, periods of living in this are the periods of true worship. They're beyond the human mind. And the things that appear as the fruitage cannot be produced by the human mind. They transcend all human understanding. But they appear. And they appear prolifically and with continuity as signs to develop your confidence that the eye of your being is all-powerful, all-knowing, and ever-present everywhere throughout the divine universe. For it is the divine universe. And therefore, if you were developing this capacity, you would ultimately reach a point where you would not be tempted to go anywhere to help somebody until you had first gone within yourself to discover yourself where that somebody is in the invisible. And you would discover that where that somebody is, you are there in the invisible when you are here in your consciousness. That's why we have to go beyond words and thought. That's why we have to find a peace that passeth understanding. That's why the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. That's why Jesus says, "Why callest thou me good?" To teach us that we can never even equal his intelligence as a person. How could we hope to accomplish those things that appeared through him if we could not follow in his steps and say, why callest thou me good? I have no capacities of my own. I have no personal intelligence. I have no personal integrity. I have no personal loyalty. I have no personal capacities to do any of these miracles. Why callest thou me good? And in that phrase, he is calling attention to what is good. The Father within, the kingdom of God within you, the I here now, the permanent ever-present self which is everywhere, and you touch the everywhere here, and you rest then in the Word. And then instead of words you have the Word. Instead of thoughts you have omniscience. And so again and again, relentlessly, from every facet he could think of, we find in this chapter, we are reminded, you can only honor God with silence. Not going anywhere, not healing anywhere, not running out to patch up the universe, but here, in the silence, is the true miracle. Here in the silence you touch infinity. And it does its own work. You are not good, it is. You are not intelligent, it is. You are not a benefactor, it does all of the benevolence through you. And we become beholders to the infinity of I here now. That's what is meant by practicing the presence. Not, "God, I know that you're doing your work." Not, "God, on Sunday." Not, "God, on a special holy day." But I, here, now, and forever. The kingdom of God, which is I here now. And in that kingdom, there is no second power, no second life, no second person, no second activity, no opposites, no evils, only the perfection of I, everywhere, here now. So much for the worship, and this continuity of worship is the continuity of our acts of commitment in which we accept in which we heal, in which we surrender this false sense of a mental me, of a physical me, of an emotional me, of a judging me, and live in the infinity of I here now. Now that's our fourth dimension. That's the sea of consciousness. That's the substance of all form invisibly. When we're living in it, we have left our nets. We have left all the human crutches that we require. We have left all need for depending on material aids. We don't go overground for our needs. In fact, we are now without needs of any kind. What does Christ need? That's the tempter, saying this you need and that you need. Every need is saying that you are not accepting I here now. For I here now have all that the Father hath, because I here now am the Father. Be still and know that I here now am God. Now what do you need? If you have a need, you haven't accepted, I here now am God. Now that's the shrine. That's where we worship. That's how we pray. We don't ask it. We don't seek anything. We don't say, forgive me. We forsake the human sense of things, and there's nothing left to forgive. We don't ask for help. We forsake the belief that we need help and realize that I here now must be touched, and then the I here now of the individual we wish to help is also touched. And then we will witness the fruitage. There's nothing that, in my own limited way, I can tell you that I haven't already tried. It's just a thimbleful. But Joel had a bucketful. And everything he told us, he had tried. And everything he told us to try, I tried. And I find that I can depend on every single word that flowed through that master. Every single word. It all works beautifully to the degree of my own integrity. And when that integrity is lacking, then karma is set up. When you violate your own spiritual integrity, when you find that you're acting from a human standpoint, your punishment doesn't come from God. It's very clearly pointed out in this chapter, your punishment comes from the integrity of your own spiritual being that you hit up against. You violate your own spiritual integrity, and the eye of your being doesn't punish you. You simply don't experience it, and that appears as punishment. You don't experience the eye. Instead, you experience your own ignorance, your own humanhood. And although we have been told that was divine punishment, we're also aware that the moment we are enlightened, the moment truth enters our consciousness, we discover there is no punishment at all. It's the illusion of ignorance, of spiritual law. But the machinery is already set up within us that we can avoid karmic law, that we can experience present perfection. Only insofar as there is no shadow between I here now and where I am living. It isn't difficult. Once we have accepted that this is where I am going to remain, I'm going to abide here. I hear now is all there is in this entire universe, and I'm going to prove it by resting here and watching. Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Did you have to go off into humanhood? I say to you what I say to the world, watch. For those who do not watch are asleep. Asleep to I, here, now. Watch, for you know not at what hour the Lord may come. Always we are impressed with the need to stand in the knowledge that I hear now is the infinite self, and that is the watching. The constant recognition, the constant acknowledgement with heart, mind, and soul. I hear now. Even in Gethsemane, I hear now. And therefore, what is Gethsemane? An illusion of the human mind. All that is here now is I. This is the worship that builds the fruitage. And the fruitage is life eternal. To know I hear now aright is life eternal. You know there can be no life eternal and sickness, no life eternal and distress, no life eternal and suffering. And therefore, the attainment of life eternal is also the attainment of that life which is without sickness and suffering.